Welcome into DC On Screen episode 334. This is our DC TV news episode. There are going to be slight spoilers probably for things coming up on all the shows. My name is David C. Robertson. I'm your host. And working on this podcast thankfully keeps me from binge watching Flat Earth Society conspiracy videos on YouTube. This is my co-host Jason Goss.
Hi.
You ever watch those, man?
Nope. I've seen the ocean before.
They're pretty fascinating. Like, I just, you know, I'm not one, like, I don't want to, like, you know, disparage someone's beliefs.
No, there's a difference between beliefs and things you think you know.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. If we lose listeners, I'm just going to have to. I think the flat earth people are crazy.
I'm just willing to do that. I'm going to go ahead and, like... If you think the earth isn't round, I'm sorry. We're not your show. Get the hell out.
It's just fascinating to me. I don't know what to do with it. Like, I'm looking through the comments on YouTube. And this is all pre-DC On Screen, because I don't have time for that crap anymore. But before, I would watch this stuff and just be like, what is happening? Really? Like, you really, like, don't, like, they're giving me, like, you know, pseudo-scientific reasonings and stuff for why the Earth is just, I guess, a rectangle in space.
It's apparently a plane. I'm not entirely sure how that works.
I'm like, if you get, I've never been in a plane because I'm afraid of heights, but.
You know what, I'm willing to bet there are no flat Earth conspiracists listening to us at the moment, because you're probably thinking that we may talk about the Flash, who, as you know, can actually do the thing where you just start in one position and go around the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fall off. You just go around the Earth a lot of times.
At no point in any Supergirl or Superman comic has he ever flown straight up into the sky and just seen the edge of the Earth and went, oh, they are right after all.
Yeah, or like tried to fly around the Earth to save, you know, some, I don't know, small village in India from genocide, and like hit a wall, literally a wall in space, and went, oh crap, I was supposed to fly the other way.
Right.
On the flat map that is
the
Earth.
Or just like went underneath the flat map that is the Earth to get back to the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
I you know, it's just intriguing as all hell to me.
Well, sure.
These people.
I don't know where they're coming from, and I'm often willing to listen, but I don't care about this one.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was in college at the Auburn University of Montgomery, one of the professors said, okay, I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but one of the professors on the staff in this department is a member of the Flat Earth Society. And we all just died. We just started laughing so hard. And we're like, please tell us. He's like, I'm not telling you who it is.
Oh.
But he is not regarded well.
At least he gave you that, because if the professor had come away going like, all right, you know, we respect where he's coming from, you'd have thought, okay, cool, so when is my refund happening? This man is employed here. I expect a full refund. Thank you.
Yeah, he actually told us, he was like, he doesn't mention it with his students, and because we were like, oh, it's a he, and he's like, damn it. Yeah, okay. So he doesn't talk about it with the students. And he regrets having told us. Fair enough. So, like, pretty much the rest of my time there, we were just constantly, the people who heard that speech were like, so who is it? I don't know. It's got to be this guy. Nah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. This guy's got a map in his office. He's a sociology professor.
Yeah. Remember how he felt about Mark Twain?
Yeah.
Knowing that about Mark Twain, that can't be good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's get into the news. News I'm really excited about. I've already talked about it on the show a little bit on the Supergirl review episode earlier this week. They're bringing in Ra's al Ghul to Gotham.
Because
Alexander,
no one can resist biting that apple.
I know. It's weird.
Just sitting there on the tree all pretty.
You know, I wouldn't have guessed back in the day when I was listening to David Warner go, Ubu, detective. that I was going to hear Dr. Bashir himself, Alexander Siddig from DS9, playing Ra's al Ghul. Deadline is saying that the character will be revealed on the show as David Mazouz's young Bruce Wayne begins to find out who's really behind the secret Court of Owls Council that seems to run everything in Gotham. I am perfectly okay with the dude from DS9, from Dr. Bashir. This guy's played on 24. He's played on a ton of stuff. He's a really good actor.
He's been around.
And he's a bit artsy-fartsy in his actual persona. Because he didn't like a thing they did on DS9, and he was like, oh, yes, no, I downplayed those scenes and just, you know, I purposefully didn't act very good. I didn't act well in those scenes because I didn't like that development. I'm like, well, that's kind of pissy. But you know what? If that was him acting down, damn. Because he did a really good job with all of that material to me.
Just phoned it in that day.
He phoned it in. He reminds me a little bit of Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down for him playing Ra's. I'm actually really excited about it. Moving on to some Lucifer news. Apparently, Lucifer is leaving Vancouver. They're leaving to go to L.A. They're doing the opposite of what Supergirl does, or did.
Yeah.
They're leaving Vancouver to go to Los Angeles where the pilot was filmed. Hopefully, this will seem a little more authentic and add to the production. I mean, nothing weird here. Apparently, they're just trying to get away, or trying to get away with a tax break. You know what I mean? Like, they submitted to California's Film Commission for a tax credit.
Apparently, you have to submit to be relocated there too. Like, you have to get permission to film in LA.
Well, relocating gets a priority on the tax credit.
Yeah, yeah, because you're not just some pilot that, you know, might or might not be something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, seriously, and we've got 22 episodes in the wing, so like, yeah, we can come, right? And then they suspiciously apply during this period where there's a tax break. I mean, yeah,
which is probably why they got an early renewal, because the window was February 10th to 17th. They renewed on February 13th.
Seemed to be why Fox announced it so weirdly early. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is still more expensive to shoot in LA, apparently. So that just says than it is in Vancouver. So that just seems like they've got some faith in the show, you know?
Yeah. I don't know how the finances work on that. I'm sure someone's on top of it. It's weird, man. I would love to know the in and outs of it on a more in-depth level. But like you said, like a lot of these shows shoot up in Vancouver, cheaper, way to go. Mm-hmm. They're going to move from Vancouver to go to LA, which is considered, I don't know, mid-range, I guess.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it's like, well, it's cheaper to shoot in Vancouver for Supergirl than it is for LA. But however, if you are shooting a show about our Lord and Savior Lucifer, mm-hmm, here in LA, we give you a tax credit. Sorry. I'm sorry for anyone who lives in LA. I'm just joking. I don't actually believe your Lord and Savior is Lucifer.
Although, do the stats. There's a couple. There's a couple of Satanists in LA. Can't.
Probably.
Run the numbers, man.
I thought Hollywood was all run by, you know, Lucifer worshippers and occultists. I don't know. That's what I was told by binge-watching YouTube.
Right.
It's all Illuminati.
And I think a couple episodes of The Critic.
And one episode of Lucifer, actually.
Yeah. You know, to be honest, though, the pilot's one of my favorite episodes of Lucifer. Like, when I saw the pilot, I was really excited about the show. I don't know if this matters that they're going to move where they're filming. I mean, it shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully it has some substantial, you know, input.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the pilot, and I thought it was just as tepid as the rest of the series.
Yeah, I was a little happier with that.
You were happier with it. So, on to Supergirl. Kevin Smith has wrapped his second Supergirl episode. He tweeted, "We wrapped the second Supergirl episode. I got to direct last night at 11:30. Thank you to the Vancouver cast and crew for making it fly." As far as I know, there's no release date on that episode.
He got home late. That's all we really know.
Kind of late. Late-ish.
Yeah.
Earlier than I would have.
Yeah.
Andrew Kreisberg was talking about Cat Grant returning in season 2. He says, "We're working on it. We love Calista. She loves us. She loves the show. She has other commitments and family and whatnot. But we're trying to work it out. I wouldn't put money on seeing Cat again this season. But if you do, keep the wager under $1. That's a little disappointing.
I have nothing to contribute to that. That feels pretty damning. I think we know what we're in for. You've had your Cat this season. she's in LA. Maybe she shows up on Lucifer. Who knows?
Yeah. You know, I kind of feel like Cat Grant is what we need on this show in a season two that seems like it is flailing and failing to understand what the show is.
No, don't go that far. Don't go that far. I mean, look, it's been the last three episodes where we kind of went, what are they up to? But it had been solid up until that.
I would go as far as to say that I've been kind of I've been smelling blood in the water since that episode where Jeremiah showed up in the prison and then disappeared. Like, it's gotten progressively worse from there. I still enjoy the show. You know, it's there are people in a cape, and I'm forever grateful for people in a cape on network TV, even if it's CW.
Sure.
But I'm still kind of going, where are you? Like, we could have had a line about Max Lord. You know, you don't invest us into people.
Yeah, no. There's plenty of stuff that could be going better. But it's been pretty solid. Just the last, I understand Blood in the Water. I understand some trepidation, mm-hmm. but the last three have just been, okay, what are we doing? Where did the show, what show you're writing for?
Once the last three or four episodes, they have suddenly veered off character for Kara. And then the last episode, they sharply veered off character for Alex.
Yeah.
And John. And I'm just sort of what? So
that was when it started, was the Manhunters episode, was where John mm-hmm. was suddenly just not himself. It's been a strange time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I was just binge-watching all of this, I would kind of be looking around and wondering what to do with myself and wondering if there was, like, a hallucinogen nearby that I had accidentally inhaled.
Yeah.
There was some argon and some bread.
speaking of, I don't know,
Supergirl
hallucinogens. Kevin Sorbo was talking about. He says it's funny because Peter Jackson once said that Hercules really catapulted this whole thing on TV with action shows. We started with Herc, then spun off Xena, then spun off Young Hercules with a 20-year-old Ryan Gosling. Yes, we know all of that. Thank you for the history lesson, Kevin. He then says, then all these people tried to copy that show. Sinbad, Tarzan, Conan, Robin Hood. Ever since then, and because of their success, we got all these action shows and Marvel comic book characters. I mean, slow down there, Kev. You know this is a DC show, right?
I don't think there is a traceable lineage between Hercules. That show I watched at 2 a.m. because I couldn't go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Now juxtapose that to Xena, that show I watched at 8 o'clock promptly because, you know, I was a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Marvel movies.
Right.
Because that's what Peter Jackson apparently and Kevin Sorbo is endorsing. No, man. Also, he's saying that some of the lineage was Sinbad, Tarzan, Conan, and Robin Hood. Dude, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, I don't remember any of those shows.
Sinbad was a comedic stand-up special that I remember, like, in the late 80s.
No, he's talking about, like, Sinbad the Sailor, you know?
I know, but and I'm still telling you, that's all I remember.
I don't remember, aside from a Popeye cartoon, I don't remember Sinbad being any kind of syndicated show, any kind of network show. I don't remember Tarzan, Conan, Robin Hood. They may have been, but I mean, the truth of the matter is...
Way under my radar, or above my radar. I don't know. They were off my radar.
I mean, he's true. He's right about Xena and Young Hercules, but the truth about all of these things are that they are recognizable IPs.
Yeah.
People know these things from myth, from stories. These are things people recognize and will watch because they go, oh, I'm down with that. It has nothing to do with Hercules, aside from someone saying, hey, Hercules is doing pretty well. You know what people like? A bunch of fantasy bullshit. That's what they dig, you know? So
if there's a connection here, it's basically like, so we just get away with, putting fantasy stuff on TV? Cool.
Right. And let's be fair, Kevin Sorbo, the first show to really do that was Star Trek The Next Generation. They started the syndication boom with sci-fi fantasy.
And you know who started that for them? Lucy.
Yes. Really, the like the original series, well, not really, but...
No, I mean Lucy Star Trek, herself, the original, like her actual production company.
Well, Desilu did Star Trek.
Yeah.
Back in the day with NBC, but it was when that the when they were when Star Trek blew up in syndication, that's why years later when Roddenberry and Paramount wanted to do Next Generation, they decided to just do it in syndication because that's where Star Trek blew up, the original series. Has little to do with Hercules. I mean, they were there and they contributed. Absolutely. They absolutely did. But they weren't like the big, it didn't start with them.
No. Well, I mean,
like Hercules and Xena caused a bunch of other, you know, crappy fantasy style shows to show up.
Yeah.
And look, given Hercules and Xena their due, Sam Raimi, Rob Tapert, man. I mean, Bruce Campbell, those cats were all involved in that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it wasn't quality to some degree.
No, they,
I'm
they
just
still
saying...
kept on. Like, the crew that did all these shows still did, like, Spartacus, which was well-received. They, like, mm-hmm. they're still in production. I'm just... two things strike me. One, you're not responsible for the Marvel movies. And two...
Right.
I always chuckle thinking that Lucy was the one who, like, somehow managed to make sure Star Trek got on the air.
Right. I really wish we had Billy West on here with his Lucille Ball impersonation, but
it would make me so happy.
Yeah, and you know, I love that Kevin Sorbo was talking about Supergirl, and he gets off of this weird Hercules kick, and then starts talking about Marvel movies. I'm like, dude, this is DC TV shows.
What are you doing, man?
What are you talking about, buddy?
It's a strange time.
Never mind. Time. I'm gonna go film God's Not Dead 3.
Yeah. I forget what he's got one coming out in, on Christmas. I forget the name. Part of it actually filmed in Birmingham.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah. I actually, it's I think probably Irwin Brothers. I think I've already said this before, but like I walked away from, I was walking by a, like Crestwood Park, and just kind of, no, I'm sorry, Avondale Park. Oh, forgive me. I was walking by Avondale Park. I was like, that's a lot of people. It's like an exodus of Avondale Park. And then, even saw like a reporter I know, like walking toward, like away from the exodus, like salmon upstream, mm-hmm. and thought, what the hell is this? And I happened to be jogging that day. So I was like, I pulled up and started jogging in Avondale Park, and I kept going like, what is this equipment? What are they doing? Was this some sort of like, was it like a camera? Like, I don't know how to put all these pieces. There's cameras, there's lighting and stuff. And
this then, is like, highly irregular.
Yeah, I was like trying to put all the pieces together, and then I popped open a couple days later. I was like, oh yeah, Kevin Sorbo's filming a thing for whatever film he's got going on now. Oh, okay. All right. And they shipped off all the extras in vans, and that was probably a climactic scene in a rock garden thing. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, Birmingham, where Jason lives, there's a fair amount of movie stuff going on. And it's really happened because there are these guys, they did what was it called? Mom's Night Out with Patricia Heaton. Mm-hmm. They did October Baby. They did a bunch of Christian films, like faith-based films is what they call them.
Yeah, and Sorbo's got like a string of those going on right now. So it's a faith-based film that he shot that
maybe.
I presume is coming out in October. No, I remember hearing the title of it when, like, I read the article from the reporter I actually knew, Jesse Chambers, who's with Weld now, was with Birmingham News. I read his article later and kind of, he got the gist of the plot and was like, oh, it's one of those films. I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah. Well, what's weird is,
I showed up to watch everyone leave.
Yeah, like, there was actually, and this will keep it DC-based.
Yay!
Laura Vandervoort was in one of these movies. It was a TV movie that I think the Irwin brothers were doing or someone else was doing. Because I have ties with this guy named Josh Walsh. We did the radio show Entertainment Roundtable together. And he's a producer on those movies, but the Irwin brothers have a bunch of filmmaker friends. So I've been like an extra in a couple of things here and there, you know, like Grace Unplugged, which I've never even seen. I have no idea. It's like there's just probably like a still frame of me sitting in the back of a theater somewhere. but Laura Vandervoort was in this movie with John Lovitz in like a coffee shop. And I don't know. I can't remember even the name of it. It may have been called Coffee Shop. It was like a TV thing. She just said the same line over and over again about her mother and something about faith and her teaching her the thing, and she plays piano. And I'm in the coffee shop. You probably see me for like a frame again, sitting in the back of a coffee shop, looking kind of annoyed.
Standing
but, you know,
Dave.
I just... So, yeah, the Irwin brothers and a lot of their friends wind up filming in Birmingham. My girlfriend's in a bunch of these things. Like, she's in, like, every one of them that they've ever made. She's in some shot somewhere. Yeah. So, because they just had, like, newsletter call-outs, like, casting calls, like, hey, come be an extra in The Thing with Sean Astin, or come meet John Lovitz, or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I didn't actually get to see meet John, but...
You know, it's sad. I just remember from that interaction over at the park. I remember reading about it late, like a day or two later, and going, oh, I could have met Hercules. Oh, well.
I could have met Hercules.
I didn't even finish the sentence in my head. I could have met... I'm fine.
No. Anyway, there was... I don't know how to say his name. Raul Coley from iZombie is cast as Biomax on Supergirl. He's going to be... charismatic tech genius who comes to National City to present for the press and run into trouble with his ex, Lena Luthor. Coley said of the casting that he's happy to fulfill my goal of meeting a Kryptonian.
Not like his style.
Who doesn't want to do that?
Right.
So Andrew Kreisberg was at a press event, and he was talking about how Martian Manhunter is too powerful to actually do, like, be utilized on Supergirl. Mm-hmm. He says if we really deployed him at his full comic book power arsenal, no one would be able to pull anything off of anybody.
Yeah.
Which I think is a thing that we've had a problem with on the show. Is it's like, why don't they just have, like, just have Jean do this?
Yeah, the only show that doesn't have a problem with it is pretty much Arrow, I think. Because it, I mean, God, like, it, over on Legends, too, we had the same problem with Firestorm. If he really knew what he could do.
Mm-hmm. And he does, because he's transmogrified, like, enormous things. That
ships
he was
into
the,
water.
Yeah, he was the Deus Machina on the crossover, so get to cracking, buddy.
Yep.
Maybe don't stay on the ship and home alone Rip Hunter next time.
Oh, he's just by himself. Come on. Just a dude with a paint can, after all.
Kreisberg says, if, I mean, he's super strong, he can fly, he can phase through matter, and he can read minds. I mean, good luck trying to pull one over on him. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have written him in. Mm-hmm. I love him. I love Martian Manhunter, but I want to see Martian Manhunter. I don't want to see, you know, some stymied version of Martian Manhunter who only has, you know, plot ready powers. Like, I don't need it to be like, oh, hey, we need him to do to phase this episode so he can phase, and then next week he's just a guy.
No, there's a certain amount of this that, like, it is written into the human brain to actually work with it. I mean, all right, think about this. How many games have you played, or like an Injustice game even? You have all these moves at your disposal. Well, you can only process so many of them at the same time, at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So you make it through, but you're only thinking about two or three possible moves at maybe 1 second. Like, you're just not, like, all seeing, all knowing eye. So when they tell me a story where it doesn't come up, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. When they tell me a story where I kind of think, well, why didn't Martian just go in and take care of this? Yeah, then
it was obvious. And
it was obvious.
Done something different.
It's just a matter of how you write it. Like, I love seeing him. I have no regrets about him being on the show. I just, I'm not surprised that they're aware that they've kind of written themselves into a little dance.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you guys already had one almost completely invincible character on the show that would have been hard enough to create villains for on a weekly basis, and then you decided to bring in Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might not have been the smartest call.
Nope. I'm still behind him.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm happy to see him, like you said. But, you know, if you're you know, whining about not being able to come up with something viable, that some viable threat to Kara, don't bring in a Martian Manhunter, or vice versa. You know, like, maybe that wasn't the right show to bring him on. I'm just a dick.
I think if you use that argument at all, you just have to admit that he can't be on any shows.
I think he should be in movies with the Justice League fighting Darkseid. I think that's an appropriate usage of Jon Jones. Absolutely, with Jon Jones, Superman. Yeah,
slugging it out.
Movies with big ass bad guys. That's where we need Jon Jones, not the DEO.
You say that like you haven't enjoyed the crap out of Hank Henshaw some weeks.
I have. I won't deny it.
Again, you use him right. Suspension of disbelief does its work.
You know, yeah, but I'm just saying. It's a little bit of a, you know, it's a kind of a sad excuse to be like, well, I mean, if we use them at full capacity, the show wouldn't work.
No,
well,
that's the classic thing. Like, that's the reason when they invented Superman, they had to come up with all this crap to fight him with.
Yeah, that's why you think about it and go, wait, you know what? We probably shouldn't put him in the show.
Nah. No,
I'm my thought. I don't know.
I think you go with it.
I mean, I go with it. I go with anything. I watched all of the Nolan movies. I've watched Dark Knight Rises at least twice.
One and a half.
Anyway. Over to The Flash. I do like the Supergirl. I like the show. It bothers me a little bit.
You even like Martian.
I like it.
Don't.
I do like Martian. I do. David Harewood does a fine job. It's a good thing, too, because he looks like David Harewood a lot of times.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Way too much.
I know.
Tom Cavanaugh is directing an episode of The Flash. Daniel Pannenbecker revealed on Instagram behind-the-scenes photo from last night's episode featuring Tom Cavanaugh, who brings so much joy to our set, and is directing this week's episode of The Flash, and he's doing a tremendous job. So this is his directorial debut for The Flash. He has done 3 episodes of Ed. This will be episode 319. No word on the air date or the episode title. I'm down with that. I love Tom Cavanaugh.
Really excited. I have no idea which episodes of Ed he directed and don't remember the show well enough to know whether that was a good thing or a bad thing.
You know what? My only regret of him being on the show is that it's going to make it so much harder if he ever wanted to play the Joker, which I think he would do a phenomenal job at. Look
fantastic.
At that grin.
I know.
Look at that grin.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Kenyon Lonsdale was in a very long interview. Here's the pertinent information.
Pull what was worth.
There's a Wally West action figure on the way. He was asked if he was excited. He said, I am. I didn't know that I was getting one or that one was being made. I was kind of hoping that would be the case. So when someone tweeted me with it, I was just over the moon. It's so cool. Or such a cool, surreal experience. I would, you know, I always thought I would be really excited if I ever got an action figure. And then I was in a Toys R Us like last month and I looked at the Gotham Bullock, Harvey Bullock action figure, and it looks a lot like me, and I was not nearly as thrilled.
It might help if you get the name recognition instead of going, right. Oh, they think I look like Donald Logue.
Yeah, they think, or more likely, they think Donald Logue looks like me.
Right.
Like, why can't they make these action figures look? Why does Bruce look like Selma Blair?
Yeah, it was a much stranger time.
Barbara looks like a creature out of Hungry Shark World. What's happening?
Those are some seriously strange action figures they've got going on.
Terrible, terrible figures. Oh, I'm sorry. I love action figures, and I would collect all of them because it's a show that I watch and I, you know, mostly enjoy. But man, those are bad action figures.
No, like Tiny Bruce just looks like Archer.
You did say that.
Yeah.
He's dressed like Archer, but he has Selma Blair's face.
Yeah. Yeah. It was rough.
So, we just got some breaking news about the Supergirl musical. Supergirl Flash musical.
Yeah, right before we went on, there was a teaser released. And when I say teaser, I mean you've got 10 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And 3 of those seconds are previous footage from when they were together the first time. Maybe 4 of those seconds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of cool shots in there, but it confirms something that's happening kind of in the synopses that were released a couple days ago. So, they've already warned us, I'll say, that, like, the Supergirl star-crossed is pretty much, like, new villain, National City, Supergirl, high alert, Wynn's girlfriend, Lyra, gets Wynn in trouble. That actually might be interesting. Maggie attempts to help Wynn, but old loyalties, I don't know what that's about. Anyway, but the whole Supergirl synopsis just ends with, the music maestro attacks Supergirl. So you're getting kind of what you got the first time when we had a crossover, or when we had the 4-part crossover that was the 3.1 part crossover.
Mm-hmm.
To you get to the Flash, and finally you get Barry and team are surprised when Mon-El and Hank Henshaw arrive on Earth carrying a comatose Supergirl who was whammied by the Music Meister. Unable to wake her up, they turn to Team Flash to save her. However, the Music Meister surprises the Flash and puts him in a similar coma, one that Team Flash can't cure. Kara and Barry wake up without their powers in an alternate reality where life is like a musical, and the only way to escape is by following the script, complete with singing and dancing to the end.
Okay.
So, we're getting a bottle episode.
Yeah, it totally looked like Earth 2, though, in the teaser.
It does look a little Earth 2-ish, and there's definitely, like, because Earth 2 had a little bit of a noir feel to it in certain ways, no doubt. It's just that we're definitely getting, like, this isn't going to be a thing that's actually going to affect anything else, I feel like. It seems like, and some of the footage confirms it, because, there's a thing coming up with Candace, but some of the footage seemed to confirm it, like, Supergirl has a real episode, then she just gets over to the Flash, and then the Flash is going to have this bottle episode that probably won't mean much in the scheme of things, but there'll be singing and dancing, and it will probably be enjoyable.
It looks enjoyable.
But, you know, it doesn't appear...
It looks enjoyable.
It doesn't appear to be too potent.
Jason.
Uh-huh.
It looks enjoyable.
It does look enjoyable.
Very enjoyable. Nah, it looks okay.
It looks okay. I got nothing against a musical. So, I'm sure I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm just...
Yeah.
It's definitely not, like, Earth One relevant stuff. It's gonna be a diversion that we're looking at.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
If they're going to do a filler episode, they might as well make it fun.
Yeah.
Now, this is, though, why it might not be. Aaron Helbing says Iris in the musical episode plays a pretty key role in the musical episode. The story really centers around Iris. Aside from Barry and Kara, Iris plays a huge role in the musical. Well, no kidding, aside from Barry and Kara. Like, the leads of the two shows.
Mm-hmm.
Candace Patton tweeted, shot some fun stuff for the Flash musical today. This isn't the Iris you're used to. I wonder if she'll be an alternate universe Iris.
See, that's what I'm saying, is it's kind of not going to... I don't think it's going to be an E anything.
You don't?
No, it's
at all?
C1 for Coma 1.
It would be great if it...
or MC1, if you will. Musical Coma 1.
And, you know, longtime listeners of the show, or even people who've only been listening for probably 2 weeks, because that's who I am, will probably know that I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Obviously.
If they do this, like, once more with feeling, and they utilize it, and like, everyone's singing their feelings, and no one's not remembering that. So, in Buffy, they did a great thing where they built up all these dramas, all these secrets. Everyone had some sort of terrible secret, and they all sang it in front of each other because they were magically compelled to,
mm-hmm.
and it changed the entire course of the show. It changed everything. In one beautiful episode, it made everyone suspicious of one another and or incredibly sad.
And it is literally tear-jerking. This takes place in a coma. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
I mean, it's still probably going to be a lot of fun. It just doesn't sound like it's going to, like, you know, affect the series in any way.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't take place in a coma. Maybe it...
It literally takes place in a coma. They have to get to the end of the script to get out of the coma.
All right. God, I'm really looking a lot less forward to this thing
than I
was. In
a dual coma. A duet coma.
Let's move on. I'm going to be sad now. Abracadabra. You remember a few weeks ago when HR said a magician friend of mine told me the blah, blah, blah?
Yep.
Yeah, and I went, Abracadabra! Mm-hmm. Well, Abracadabra has been cast. I'm not happy with the casting, necessarily.
No.
David Desmalchian has been cast as Abracadabra on an upcoming Flash. If you if you recognize the name... It was because he was, I don't remember his name on Gotham. He was, on Gotham. He was on the Dark Knight. Dwight?
Yeah.
Was that his name?
Yeah, because I only remember because there's the scene at the end where he says, Dwight. Yeah, Dwight. Yeah, don't forgive you about the face.
He cut Jerome's face off. He's a, Jerome fanatic. He was also in the Dark Knight. The official description for the show calls him a criminal from a distant future whose advanced technological powers seem like magic. The time-traveling Abracadabra holds a secret the Flash will stop at nothing to uncover.
All
right. I'm guessing whether or not he actually saves Iris.
Oh, it's gotta be, right? I mean,
yeah,
gotta be. It just seems too potent. It just feels like that's the only way you could go with it. It could
By
also
the way,
be
anyone...
that you're right about Abracadabra secretly being Saboteur.
Right. No, I was actually, I thought Abracadabra was secretly HR.
Oh, was that what you were, okay.
That was my theory, yeah.
Okay, that's still a lot of fun, too. here's something.
That it'll
something
be his buddy. Like, he is his buddy, and he's using that technology to just look like HR.
Right. Because you got to remember, most versions, except for like a small thing, Abracadabra has no real powers, just from the future. Like, sure.
Right. I was just watching Young Justice where they were making fun of that.
Right. Now, something to consider here, though.
Mm-hmm.
If we consider where we've seen David Dashkamashmalian, I'm just guessing there. David Dalmatian.
Dustmalshin.
Yeah. He has not been so far very impressive. Actually, in The Dark Knight, he wasn't. I mean, he wasn't bad. It just he had a small role. He was supposed to be crazy. He was kind of crazy. He was fine. As in Gotham, though, he was just way over the top. Everything he did felt like a cartoon.
Uh-huh.
Now, I feel like if we put him in, if we take what he did in Gotham and tell him to go to the Flash and literally be a fake magician from the future, I feel like we have a competitor for Geomancer.
Oof. Now, let's be fair, because I want to be look on the bright side of this thing, right?
I'm going to give him a clean slate. I'm not going to walk in thinking he's going to do a bad job. Just going to walk in and watch the episode. Just doing the math.
I literally had to look his name up and look up The Dark Knight with it to remember that he was in that movie and go, oh, yeah, that guy. But again, small role. When we go over to Gotham, I felt like this was a poor Joker wannabe. He was kind of lame. Kind of pathetic, had no stage presence, but then Jerome said that. Like, look at him, no panache.
When you describe it, I feel like he was supposed to be all those things. He was just also really bad, somehow.
Yeah, I felt like he was just kind of a loser. After Jerome said that, I was just like, oh, he's just a loser who's trying way too hard.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's a good actor. He's got to keep showing up on these shows for some reason. Maybe he just, you know...
Unions? I don't know.
Perfectly through the unions. Perfectly threaded that needle of being, like, a pathetic guy who's trying really hard to be the Joker, as opposed to an actual, like, legitimate candidate for being the Joker at some point. You know what I mean? Like, you can't... Like, if you're bringing back Jerome on Gotham,
mm-hmm.
you can't have Dwight, out-chew the scenery. You can't have him... What's the phrase I'm looking for?
Upstage.
Upstage him. I was thinking overstage. Upstage him.
You overstage can't have that is happen. Where you actually take pieces of the stage and smack them on top of the head.
Is that a real thing?
No.
Okay. I didn't think it was. I've never heard it before, but you know, you used to be in theater, so I know that you know terms.
I said it with a straight face, so.
I couldn't see. But yeah, anyway, we've probably talked about David Dastmalchian way more than anyone who actually cast him ever did. So let's move on.
Anyway, it's cool. Abracadabra will be showing up, so we'll see how that goes out.
Yeah. Let's move on to this synopsis for Kapiyushan, I guess is how you're going to say that. It's a Russian word
that
apparently means, it's a form of the word hood in Russian. Synopsis for episode 517 of Arrow has hit. It says Prometheus goes to great lengths to break Oliver. Hasn't that been the case all this time?
Yep.
Meanwhile, in the flashbacks, Anatoly becomes worried about Oliver's increasingly violent tendencies. Anatoly does? Okay. Which come to a head in a brutal confrontation. So, still barking up that tree two episodes in.
Yeah.
I
think that's where it seems like something's going to happen, though. You know, I mean, thematically, they've done
I would hope so. It's a TV show.
Yeah, we expect as much. Give me an act three, damn it. But, like, they've done a pretty great job this year, like, running the theme between Russia, or the theme between the flashbacks and the theme between the present.
Mm-hmm.
When the show was hitting on all cylinders, thematically, those two were on the same side.
Yes.
So someone like Anatoly saying, Oliver, you need to calm the F down. What could possibly be happening in the present where we're worried about
that. I want
that
scene. I want that scene. I want Anatoly, like, stroking Oliver's arm. It's like, Oliver, calm down, my brother.
Calm down. You'll take vodka. You'll take vodka, you'll sit down, you'll kill us. Three men in minutes. They were my men.
They were my men. You killed them all. You're all sex nuts and retard strong, as they say in the Americas.
They bring us sandwiches, Oliver. You killed
you
them anyway.
You do not like tuna. You do not like tuna, they will bring you chicken salad, Oliver.
There's no problem.
There is no reason. There is no reason. Bread bowl. Bread bowl, a good...
Bread bowl.
Sturdy bread bowl.
Rutabaga soup is fine.
It is a bread bowl full of broccoli cheddar. You do not like that? We will bring you some autumn squash. Panera, Oliver. Panera. It's a fine thing.
Oliver, I will find McDonald's. Don't care. Please stop killing my people. You'll sit, you'll drink, you watch Jersey Shore, you calm down. Thank you all for putting up with our accents. It was fun.
Wow.
I had a good time.
I did too. Apparently this episode airs March 22nd and you won't hear any of that, thank God.
Nope. No, the actual guy who does Anatoly is a fine accent. I don't know, he might be Russian.
Yeah, you know... I actually probably would pay to watch that episode just of them acting out what we just did.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd do a Kickstarter for that in a heartbeat.
That's called textbook narcissism. So a lot of people have been wondering whether Dinah and Oliver are going to get down and dirty. Mel says about the new Canary, the idea that Oliver would end up with the Black Canary being Katie Cassidy or any new iteration thereof. To me, it could happen. It could not, but it's certainly not destined to happen or pre-designed to happen. Green Arrow was conceived as a show without superpowers and a show that was meant to be a little more grounded, that was a specific reaction to an incredibly successful 10-year run of Smallville. There have been feuding factions in the fan base, people that call upon the comics, and people that have lived in the universe of the show. I would say that we try to find a happy medium for both. Try to live in the universe that the show has created, where characters that weren't a part of the Green Arrow mythos have become completely indispensable. And I guess by virtue of that statement, people who were in the comics and completely indispensable there have been shuffled off into the ether?
Yeah. Well, he does kind of go on to mention a little bit that, like, some of the stuff that has come out of the show is unique and wonderful. Like, he mentions Diggle.
Yeah.
As being a unique and wonderful contribution to the Green Arrow television mythos. We're not talking about Green Arrow's mythos. Mm-hmm. But you know, it doesn't have to be down to the books every time. That was his
right.
that was
mean,
his whole point,
know.
Is you can stray here and there. Like,
you can. And you know what? If you
probably
earn,
should. It's a
you,
different medium and it requires different things.
Yeah. And if you add enough spokes to the wheel, as Kevin Smith would put it. Mm-hmm. If you add enough to the mythos, I mean, they brought in Felicity Smoke and Diggle to some degree in the comics. If you add enough, I mean, Felicity Smoke was already in the comics. She was like the mother-in-law to Firestorm or something.
That was a bizarre,
but
like,
yeah, it was some small little thing. But you know, if you can make those characters popular enough that you're like, crap, man, we got to get them in the comics. That's awesome, and you, I feel like, have earned the right to slit a few beloved comic book throats. That being said, I don't think one of them should be Black Canary. You probably did a disservice to the character and pissed off way more people than you probably should have.
Cycling through so many of them, yeah. No, that should have been maybe something that they grounded it on and didn't, you know, muck around with as much.
Maybe don't kill Amanda Waller and Black Canary and the Suicide Squad.
Well, the Suicide Squad could still be a thing.
They could. I mean, they could bring in all new characters. But, you know, most of them are dead.
Yeah, I know. But you can make
show.
A Suicide Squad out of basically anybody. It's just an idea.
You
That's
could.
Fine. Killing Amanda Waller, I'm even dealing with that because you got, like, Lila now in charge. Okay, fine. That was at least, like, a growth thing. Not like we've seen anything out of her lately, but...
You know, instead of the wall, we've got the lilac.
Yeah. Don't underestimate her, though. I mean, seriously, like on the episodes we've seen her, she is a genuine BA, right?
No, I'm just being a dick.
Yeah. I actually kind of like the idea of someone being called the Lilac and you underestimate them and then they just slit your throat and laugh at you.
Yeah, I feel like that's that should be an episode of the Blacklist.
The Lilac.
That should be the episode of the Blacklist.
Yeah.
James Spader is just like, you know, they call her the Lilac. Don't underestimate her. Don't.
She's already killed three of your four family members. No one can do James Spader. That's impossible.
I know. She's already carved a vagina into the chest of your mother. I'm just.
I don't even know how it works anymore. But it was brutal.
It was awful. It was the worst thing ever that ever happened.
I feel like that's our cue to leave that piece of news.
So, you know, Brent from Squad DCTV Squadcast was the first to tell me about this. We were just having a conversation, and I got so pissed off. But Mark Guggenheim says that they know the answer to who Vigilante is, but we probably won't get the answer until the next season.
I'm going to go ahead and, I'm going to give my capsule reaction to that. Ready?
Uh-huh, sure.
Fuck you.
Right?
It's not even that I won't get the answer to that. It's that you bothered to qualify it with probably.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell, man?
I think he's going, you know, those guys at DC on screen keep saying I'm a liar, so I'm just going to say probably.
He's going to qualify it.
So if we decide to hurry up and change things,
no, I mean, in the 20 and a half hours that Mark Guggenheim is up a day, I'm sure he takes the extra time to listen to all of our stuff. I mean, I'm sure that's why he doesn't have like a nice 13-hour day, hit the sack, 9 hours sleep.
Right.
I'm sure
right
that's
in between writing, right in between writing, writing and executive producing things for Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow,
yeah,
and writing the comic book Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the new upcoming X-Men title that he's got coming out, X-Men Prime, which I kind of actually want to read because it's got Colossus and Kitty Pryde on the cover. And, oh, my Lord.
You kind of curious.
Aside from all that, he takes a good...
We're very sure that Guggenheim has taken our advice that he is a liar and has tried to retract, tried to pull back. And what we know is that we're not going to find out who Vigilante is.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So, well, he's not Adrian Chase. So, to be completely honest, I kind of don't care who he is right now anyway.
I mean.
Like, I somewhat feel,
okay. I care about who he is.
I maybe feel like the reason we're not going to get it until next season is because they haven't introduced that character. Because it was such a big deal, like it's such a big red herring for them to be like, here's Adrian Chase. And like the comic book fans are like, oh, well, Adrian Chase is the Vigilante. So we know that. And then like, no, fool. He's like Andy Dick on News Radio, you stupid fool.
Yeah.
It's Prometheus.
Yeah.
Okay, well, who's Vigilante?
It's this thing we made up. Okay.
We haven't brought up this character to bring in to reveal that he's Vigilante. So next year, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it's Quentin.
I don't know. You know what really bothers me, though, is he says we know the answer to that, which means they've got a name.
They do.
And we don't even know if it's an on-screen name or an off-screen name now.
It better not be the Question. With all your Hub City crap.
You turn around and it's Vic. Oh, screw this. I'm done.
I'm going to be really angry if it's Vic or if it's Huntress. If it's Helena, I'm going to be mad. I'm gonna be like, what? No.
Oliver helped
okay.
you. I don't know. I really don't. Really don't.
Yeah.
I know that they know and that they're not planning to tell me, and I'm annoyed. That's all I can reasonably say about the issue.
Mm-hmm. Over to Legends. Apparently, Legends of Tomorrow has wrapped their shoot for season two. They're not shooting anything else for season two. They're done. They wrapped last week in Vancouver. Finale is expected to air April 4th. The episode is titled Aruba.
I assume
actually slipped into Lord Michaels a little bit. Sorry.
I just assume it's an episode where we all watch them vacation and sit Mai Tais for like an hour.
The episode is titled Aruba. It'll be sitting on the beach drinking something out of a coconut.
It will have an umbrella.
Mick will have an intellectual duel with his imaginary snart.
No. I mean, let's back up here. There are some indigenous monkeys in that set of the world who have been known to steal drinks off vacationers. Mm-hmm. Now.
And three of them look like Wolverine.
No. If you give me. No. This is a real thing. This is a real thing about drunk monkeys. If you give me an episode where the B plot is Mick getting annoyed because monkeys keep stealing his drinks while he's trying to relax, I'm sold.
This is why they don't let us write for these shows,
ladies and gentlemen. So sold. I mean, the first half of the episode would be him figuring out it's monkeys, and then the second half would be him like trying to destroy all of the forest to find the monkeys. To take revenge on those drink-stealing monkey bastards.
I think that's where the network television portion of the idea falls apart, as I'm not sure that anyone would actually be willing to broadcast a grown man running around with a flamethrower trying to kill monkeys.
I'm not sure you've watched Legends of Tomorrow. Have you seen some of these episodes?
Well, they wouldn't do it with animals.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Ray would, haircut would save all the animals and explain it to him. It'd be fine. But there'd be a huge thing before that.
Legends of Tomorrow, apparently season 2 is coming to Netflix soon, if we are to believe the hype about the new Netflix deal. It should be about April 12th. 8 days after the season finale, it should be April 12th.
What I've heard is that they've redone their deal and everything's 8 days after now. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. That's what we reported last year. And weirdly enough, we were like, but it won't help you this year. It'll be next year. And now we're talking about it happening.
We're like, no one's confirmed anything yet. So we'll freaking see. We'll see.
Black Lightning. Black Lightning's daughters have been cast. Nafisa Williams from Code Black and China Ann McCain of House of Pain. That rhymes. China and McCain of House of Pain have been cast as leads opposite Cress Williams in the Black Lightning pilot. Williams will be playing Anissa Pierce, or Thunder, and McCain will be playing Jennifer Pierce, a.k.a. Lightning. So, I don't know either of those people.
I have no idea about any of it. Sounds good. Let's do it.
On to Injustice 2. There's a Dr. Fate gameplay trailer. Latest character reveal for Injustice 2 is Dr. Fate. Hit up YouTube for a few minutes of gameplay footage and more onks than you can shake a stick at. We're promised yet another reveal on March 9th, so check in then again. Reminder, this is all leading up to May 16th release date, so you need to start saving your rubles. Especially since Injustice 2 will get a slight retooling to be swipe-friendly on your tablet. The game is coming to tablet, the company said on Twitter. They also released some gameplay images, some of which have internet sleuths thinking Captain Cold might be on the way. Well, we're going to get a little tablet. Won't be that version of...
I don't know. That'd be fantastic.
Probably won't be that version of Captain Cold.
Why not?
This is my favorite version of Captain Cold.
I think it's everyone's favorite version of Captain Cold. I think that's why he's in consideration if it's there.
It's like, you know what? I never thought I'd see a day when Captain Cold was more popular than Mr. Freeze, but the day is here.
Here we are.
It's happened.
Here we really freaking are.
That's really nice what you got going on in your jail cell with your tiny dancer. But I'm Wentworth Miller, damn it.
I can pronounce things even more slowly than you.
All I've ever wanted was a warm hand to hold. And that's why you're no longer the favorite, Freeze.
Let me show you my friend Heatwave. He can warm that hand.
It's called character depth.
Yeah.
Anyway. Justice League Action. They're putting out an app game called Run. Justice League Action Run. It's available across all platforms in your app store. It will be mission-based and be a runner-style game with the JLA heroes. I'm honestly probably going to check this out as soon as we get done recording.
Oh,
I don't have a lot on my plate.
Yeah, it's fine.
At least for about 15 minutes until you're done editing the sound of the show and then send it back to me. And I got to get to work.
Yep, that's right, people. Blame me for the sound. When it has gone awry, it was my fault.
When it has gone awry, it's because you didn't have enough time to get it done, and you sent it to me. That's really the truth of it. You're like, I can't get to it right now. I can't get to it tonight. I've got too much on my plate. And then I'm like, okay. And, you know, and then there's like 20 minutes of me with like a hammer and a chisel hitting my computer monitor because I don't understand things.
Yeah, the Farnsworth method, like, of fixing things.
All right. I'm just chiseling an EQ into the monitor because I missed what you said to me.
Right.
And right. There's a little fun behind the curtain for you guys.
I told you at some point to normalize it. So you just like lean toward your PC's actual, like the CPU and yell, "Be normal."
No.
At the tracks.
No. I just looped in Norm MacDonald bits.
Oh, that's solid. Yeah, that's absolutely solid. Should go back and listen to your cut more often.
Right. It's just Norm MacDonald telling Dennis Miller about how he quit smoking because it was an oral fixation, which means that he's secretly gay. That's what I...
Yep.
That's what
I honestly episodes. Listened to 2 hours of his stand-up today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, lucky you. Norm MacDonald may actually be the funniest man alive.
He gets there. He gets damn close there.
Did you see the his last Letterman bit where he's like... he's talking about like, oh yeah, I would think that the world would get together and tell Germany, you know, you can't be a country no more because you, on account of you keep going to war with the world.
No. Oh. I like the joke. No, I didn't catch it though. I went to... Let me see what I've actually looked at.
You should check out that bit. It's his last performance on Letterman. Like the day before Letterman goes off the air, before he finishes up. Norm actually breaks down and cries doing a set. Because
I have seen that, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's really touching. They were close. Yeah. They're really close.
He performs his favorite bit from that he ever heard Letterman say in stand-up.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
That was genuinely touching. And instead, I spent a few hours listening to Ridiculous, this weird thing he did in 2006 that's really not like... Well, to relate it to DC on Screen, I'll segue through the Fantastic Four segment.
We've safely landed in the Batwiener section. I don't think there's any...
No, I'm bringing really it back. I'm bringing it back. We're doing this. We're doing this. We're coming back. So,
okay.
I'll swim through the Fantastic Four section that he opens up with on that album, where he does like they've all come back and they're about to start a new group and they're gonna name each other and they go around and he names everybody after what they do. It's like, oh, you're like the Invisible Woman and you're like the Thing and you're like the Human Torch and I'm Mr. Fantastic and we're gonna be the Fantastic Four. And there's a wonderful awkward conversation about how everyone kind of they think he should be called like Mr. Stretchy Arms because we're all like named after what we do.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm Mr. Fantastic. I don't understand what's the problem. Anyway, it's a wonderful conversation. And then another thing where like it's Stan Hooper trying to nail Lois Lane.
Uh-huh.
And Stan Hooper and Clark Kent get to know each other early on in Stan Hooper's new career at the Daily Planet. And
Stan Hooper was his that show that he did, right?
Oh yeah. So he
wow. Not willing to let that character go.
The name is already there and he's kind of lazy, let's face it. So So he uses the character's name again. And he's trying to nail Lois Lane and the whole bit is like he realizes that Clark confesses that he's Superman 2. So every time Clark disappears, he disappears. And then when he comes back, he's like, oh, it's weird. Clark was gone, but I was gone too. And like just keeps trying to lay in the seeds and eventually convinces Lois that he's supposed to like... Or eventually convinces Lois that the series of trifles convinces her that he is indeed Superman and convinces her to... Stan Hooper now. Convinces her to go back to his Fortress of Solitude, which is like at the YMCA. And then he gets there and the bouncer, I guess, at the YMCA insists that there are no women allowed in the YMCA. And so he convinces her that he was just lying and his actual Fortress of Solitude is the alley behind the YMCA. She doesn't buy it. He does not have sex with Lois Lane.
That's good.
Yeah. But then I listen to him do a solid, and this is sad and amazing in a way, but you know Norm. I listen to him do a solid 15 minutes on the death of his own family members and make it hilarious.
Okay.
He had an album in 2011 called Me Doing Stand-Up. I'll just leave it at that.
Now, which did you listen to the album where he did? Which one is the album where he does the? He and Will Ferrell do the first gay man.
That's ridiculous. That's the one in the 2006 okay. with the same bits before.
That is a hilarious but yeah. rough sketch to get through.
It is a rough sketch to get through, but it is funny. Yeah.
Oh man.
The two pioneers.
The two pioneers of hilarious but awful to get through.
They had their niche.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I guess that's it. That's all we've got, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a nice Norm podcast at the end there. I feel like we should call
it. Yeah. Yeah, we probably should. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com. We're proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network. GiantSizeTeamUp.com for all the awesome shows over there. And, oh man, when are we coming back? What have we got this week? We're missing something, aren't we?
I think it's the Flash.
We got a Supergirl, we got a Legends, we got an Arrow.
I think it's Supergirl, Legends.
No, we're missing Arrow.
No, it was Arrow we were missing last week. I think it's Flash we're missing
okay.
this week.
Oh, okay. So we got Supergirl, Legends, and Arrow.
Yeah, I'll just keep talking. I'll look it up.
Well, that's a
Stall,
dark
man,
week.
Stall.
That's a dark week, if that's the truth. We do have our giveaway that's still going on. If you want to give us, if you think we deserve after all of this.
No, you had it right. You had it right. We're short an arrow.
Oh, okay. It's a short of arrow.
But we're
okay.
up a powerless. Yeah. Do with that what
anyway,
you want.
Anyway, so I will not comment on that. you know, I've just got them sitting around waiting. Like, I haven't seen them yet. I haven't watched them yet. I figure, you know, we'll get done. Well, like we said, you know, I get busy weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. I figure we'll catch up on them and do a review of the first season as we promised. And, you know, one of our listeners, the Feige, I guess, FFEJ, was like, hey, are you watching Powerless? It's pretty great. And I was like, yeah, I haven't watched that. And he said, well, get on it. I was like, I can't. And he's like, why? I'm like, because I'm watching Young Justice that you've been bugging me about. He wanted me to watch Young Justice. Oh,
anyone
okay.
in the right no, mind should go, oh, fair. Cool. Rock on.
Right? And he did. So we love you, buddy. We love you, Jeff.
Well played,
and,
Jeff.
You can't have both. What was it? One of my favorite lines from Modern Family. Cam goes, oh, honey, God does not give with both hands. So,
oh, that was a good one. That was a really good one.
Why
I
want to
say it was
get,
something
daddy.
About being pretty and smart.
Yeah, why can't you be pretty and smart? Oh, honey, God does not give with both hands.
Yeah, I think it was.
But yeah, so that'll happen sometime at the end of this season when we can actually get a break from all these other live action shows, and I'll catch up on Powerless and we'll do a show about that. But we're coming back with what? Supergirl, Flash, and Legends. No Arrow this week.
Yep, that is the
doing our recaps and reviews.
That is the determined thing.
As we do. And until those wonderful episodes happen, I'm going to say wonderful. I don't know, they haven't happened yet, but I like to try to look at it optimistically.
Optimism.
It's a new thing I'm trying. Keep some DC on your screen.